Well, good morning.
Good morning, everyone.
And welcome to this service here at Unity Center of Light, located in Bowie, Maryland. I'm Reverend Millage Mosby.
And I'm Pamela Mosby.
And we look forward to bringing you this service today. We always like to remind you, for those who might be watching for the very first time, that this service will be part of a Zoom service. Even though you might be watching on YouTube right now, if you ever wanted to join us in a Zoom fellowship on Sunday mornings at 10:30, you can find out more information about that by clicking on the Show More button right below this frame. And we look forward to you joining us in that, where you hear music. Today we're going to have Safi singing, and we do have a chance to discuss the lesson. So, you know, please think about joining us in that Zoom session. And also, if you find this service to be inspiring, we very much appreciate your love offerings. And if you feel inspired to donate to Unity Center of Light, you can find the many ways of doing it, again, by clicking on the Show More button, and I'll show you exactly how you can make a donation. And we look forward to that, and we, you know, are very much appreciative of that. But right now, we're going to get started with Pamela.
Thanks. Well, good morning, Unity family, and welcome to the Unity Center of Light, a spiritual community that nurtures the growth of all who are seeking to develop the potential of their spirit, mind, and body. Please join me as we affirm our mission and foundation statements together. Let's begin with the mission statement. The mission of Unity Center of Light is to empower individuals to express their indwelling divine potential. We teach there is a power within each of us, far greater than anything that exists outside of us. Now let's affirm our foundation statement. There is only one power and one presence active in my life and affairs, God the Good, Omnipotent. Amen. Now we will have the daily word reading for today, Sunday, December the 18th. The key word is joy. And the affirmation is, joyfully I celebrate my oneness with God. As the three wise men followed the star to Bethlehem to greet the newborn child, I follow my inner light and discover the Christ within. As I approach the conclusion of Advent season, I realize that this rather than material goods or creature comforts is the source of my joy. The Christ within is that part of me that is always one with God, omniscience, omnipotence, and omnipresence. When I face challenging times, I can draw from the inner wellspring of joy, my foundation of irrepressible strength and fortitude. I have within me the power to overcome any challenge. This day, this moment, I am joy-filled and I celebrate the overflowing blessings of my divinity. And the scripture reading is taken from Matthew 2:10, and it reads, "When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy." Amen. And now we'll have the Sunday message with Reverend Butch.
Thank you, hon. So today we are in the fourth part of the Advent journey. And of course, today we're talking about joy. And, you know, we always, there's a reading that we always do at the beginning of each one of these. So let's look at the reading for the fourth part of the Advent journey. So it says, the fourth candle represents joy and is symbolized by a star. And when we recognize God's promise that the birth of the Christ has been fulfilled, that which is sought has already been given to us, we are filled with joy. And the star was a signal to the wise men that the event which had been foretold, which they were waiting for, was realized. The brilliant light of the Bethlehem star represents inner illumination, which moves us beyond hope, when we have the deep inner knowing that the Christ has indeed been born in us. That knowing leads to an inner and outer expression of joy, okay? And now, you know, as you know, we each week light a candle. So far we've lit a candle for faith, peace, love, and now we're gonna light the candle for joy. All right. So today's lesson, the many faces of joy, okay, could also be applied to the many faces of faith or the many faces of peace or love, because our response to an expression of these conceptual realizations are varied as varied as each of our different states of mind, okay? So there's no real one definition of joy that applies to everyone. And yes, there are definitions for each of these inner states of mind if you look them up. But each of our personal explanations for what they mean to us is as individual and as varied as the different experiences we have had throughout our lives, okay? So the last line of the opening Advent reading that we just did expressed that it is a deep inner knowing of the divine within us that leads to an inner and outer expression of joy. And that is true when we come to know it as being true in our own personal experience, okay? So when we have this personal experience of joy, it becomes true for us. And as we always talked about through all these lessons, experience is what makes these principles real to us. And the Advent reading also refers to the star of Bethlehem as the bright, brilliant, and light within each of us that shows us the way to great joy. And again, that will be true when we come to know that it is true for ourselves. But right now, for most folks, great joy is relative, because what is great joy for me may not be great joy for you. Okay? I know an example of that. I was talking to a friend of mine and said, now that Pam and I are retired from the college, we get a chance to travel more. We love to travel. And he says, oh, yeah, that's not joyful for me. He says, I just like to be home and sleep on my own bed, right? So, you know, that word joy has a multitude of meanings, or, that, as we said, the many faces of joy. And last week, we talked about the meta-spiritual life and its relationship to what we experience in the physical or material life. So when we look to the physical life for our joy, we have a set of parameters to describe, you know, what that means to us, right? Like I said, joy for Pam and I is going on, one of the ways of joy is going on, traveling, okay? And again, as long as these parameters are met, we are joyful. However, the meta-spiritual life transcends the mental, emotional parameters we set for what the experience of joy looks like in our lives. And because usually it's based on material things, a material experience. But according to the revealing word, the Star of Bethlehem, spoken of in the opening Advent reading, symbolizes our inner feeling of belief and certainty that we have within us the faith, peace, love, and joy of the Christ. The Christ being, now listen to carefully, the Christ being the divine message encoded into our DNA that when activated will through our life experiences expose us to the divine truth about ourselves. That being that there is a physical nature and a metaphysical nature that makes up the totality of our life experiences. That's meaning there's that which we experience on a physical, material level, and there's also that which transcends the physical and material level, right? And the key here is that the wisdom we accumulate from the experiences in our lives is what reveals the true path to our awakening and enlightenment, right? It's all in how we are aware and conscious of what we are going through in our life experience and how that is helping us to wake up and become more enlightened. So again, it's living life open, and this might be hard to hear, but living life open to all possibilities that leads to a greater awareness of the divine potential that lies within us, just waiting to be executed and used in our everyday lives. Specifically, living by faith is the key to a greater awareness of our divine potential. Likewise, living peacefully is the key to a greater awareness of our divine potential. And living from love is the key to a greater awareness of our divine potential. Okay? And living from great joy is the key that unlocks and reveals to us the reality of our divinity. So all of these ideologies strung together lead to a life that appears to be and actually is God directed. And yes, I know life can often be a little or a lot crazy. Okay, but you have to acknowledge that. But as a character in a movie expressed, life should be a little nuts. Otherwise, it would just be a bunch of Thursdays strung together, right? Meaning it is the crazy things that happen that break the routines in our life, that have us living, you know, on autopilot. This interference causes us to dig deeper within ourselves for the wisdom we need to become spiritually balanced. Simply, if nothing unusual is happening, we just go about life, you know, without really doing a lot of spiritual work. It's when stuff happens that we start to, you know, recall the principles and start working with the principles in order to become more spiritually aware. So what we are striving for is a God-centered, a God-directed life. And again, as I said in my last talk, there's that word God, which so often brings up a mental image of an anthropomorphic being, as opposed to the divine intelligence in which we live and move and breathe and have our being. So God is merely a handle for all there is and all that is available to us. So when we say the word God, we're really just making reference to all there is and all that's available to us as the resource for any challenge that we find ourselves in. And yes, I do realize that as I'm saying this, that there are situations and circumstances that come up in our lives that seem to fall outside of the purview of where we presently stand spiritually. You know what I'm talking about. You know, you're doing your prayer work, your affirmation work, your meditation work, you're working the principles, but then stuff happens that seems to be outside of where we are presently standing spiritually, where we are spiritually. But regardless of where we are, it doesn't change the fact that God is all in all. So in truth, there's nothing that challenges our joy that is outside of the purview that God is, okay? Meaning outside of the scope of influence that God is in our lives. It may appear to be outside of the purview of where we presently are spiritually, but nothing, no challenge in our life is outside of the purview of that scope of the influence that God can have in our lives. And this was what Paul was explaining in Ephesians 4:6. He said, "There is one God and Father of all, who is over all, in all, living through all. One God and Father of all, who rules over all, works through all, and is present in all. Everything you are and think and do is permeated with this divine oneness." Okay? So if you just kind of grasp that point, that nothing that happens in your life, even though it's outside of your ability maybe to stay centered, it's not outside of God's ability, this divine intelligence in which you live and breathe and have your being, to instill in you making what is impossible possible through your thinking. So our thinking about God is a limited way, you know, in a limited way does not limit or prevent God from being God in all the situations and circumstances in our lives, okay? God never stops being God. So our work, if God never stops being God, our work, as it is recorded in Isaiah 6:8, is to just be still and proclaim, "Here I am, Lord. Here I am." Okay? So in other words, when you do reach those situations, those things that happen in your life that take your joy away and are outside of your ability to, your perceived ability to stay spiritually centered, all you have to do is, you know, again, Isaiah 6:8, "Here I am, Lord. Here I am." And that is what is needed on our part to break the barrier between the physical life and the spiritual life, thus revealing how active God is in all aspects of our life. Okay, and again, if we're still fuzzy about this word, you know, this concept, call God, on a meta-spiritual level, it doesn't really matter, because God always remains active in our life regardless of how or what we think about God, or how we don't think about God as being present in our life and affairs. So, you know, whether you're, you know, if you're seeing yourself, if you're kind of, you know, in a mindset where you're not thinking that God is present in your life and affairs, that only exists in our mind, because in reality, God is present and active, okay, in our life. So again, dealing with this idea of God, you know, and how we use it. In the TV series Yellowstone, there's a discussion between a Native American woman, Monica Dutton, who's married to Casey Dutton, and there's what I call a white vegan tree hugger woman, Summer Higgins. Now, I say that vegan tree hugger like it's a bad thing, but you know, you can apply those same terms to me, at least specifically one of them. All right, but I'm saying this because she was radical about it. Okay, she was invited to dinner. She just outed everybody for, you know, eating meat and not eating properly, and she just made a big deal about it and caused her to get beat up for that. And then she, you know, when it came to this tree hugger thing, she was so radical that she actually ended up in prison. Okay, but anyways, she's out of prison now, and she's talking to the Native American woman, Monica, and she notices smoke from a forest fire way off in the distance. And I say way off in the distance because Yellowstone Ranch is 776,000 acres, right? So Summer exclaims to Monica, "There's a fire." To which the Native American woman, Monica, replied, "Yes, there is." "Well, isn't anybody going to do anything to put it out?" you know, Summer asks. "Yes," Monica replied, "but we also understand that God creates the fire to cleanse the land, and God creates the rain to purify and wash away the debris to make the land ready for new growth." To which Summer says, in kind of an arrogant way, "You mean nature does all of that?" To which Monica replied, "Yes, that is what I said." I mean, that I had to, you know, of course, me, I had to stop and write that down. So with Monica, the Native American woman who's very close to the land, is saying whether you call it God or nature or universe or whatever, it's all the same thing, okay? So this idea called God that we are striving to understand might be considered a metamorphosis, meaning God changes as we change. Not the absoluteness of God itself, but the meaning of God in our mind changes, and our sense of joy changes in its ability to sustain itself within us as our understanding of the true nature of God changes and sustains itself within us. Okay? So once I'm clear about the fact that God is in charge of my life and affairs, God is the essence of my being, once I'm clear about that, then my joy will be able to sustain itself. Okay? But right now, in our present state of mind, we're often susceptible to change as the conditions in our mind, body, and life change, okay? Which again, in our present state of mind, may seem perfectly normal. When things are going good, we're good. Things are not going good, we're not so good, okay? We have all experienced those times in our lives when we were up on the mountaintop. Wow, you know, things were just great. And then we experienced times when we were down in the valley. Things were not so great. But as a character in a movie shared, perfection seems to only live in little moments. It seems it can't be sustained over long periods of time, just in little wisps of time. But then we become imperfect again, okay? So, you know, we have joy and we're on the mountaintop, and then something happens and we're down in the valley and we don't have joy. But another character expanded on this by expressing, "Yes, but the most profound words you will ever hear are, be present right now in this moment, because joy is a present moment experience. And the more we're able to live in faith, peace, love, the more we can do that, the longer those moments of joy become in our lives," okay? So there's a sequence to the process that leads to a joyful life. And the Advent journey is all about that sequence, which is to walk the way of faith, peace, love, and joy. When your inner feelings about your life, you know, when your inner feeling about your life comes to know with certainty that God is over all, in all, and living through all, the one God and Father of all who rules over all, is working through all, and is present in all, then everything you think and do will be permeated with the spirit of faith, peace, love, and joy. And this sense of oneness, you know, in this present moment, is the only thing that faith knows. Okay, this sense of oneness in this present moment is the only thing that faith knows. It is the only thing that peace knows. It is the only thing that love knows. And this knowing leads to a lasting, enduring joy, regardless of life's ever-changing circumstances. So most of the time when we are joyful, it's simply because things are working out in our lives the way we want them to. And there's nothing wrong with that, okay? But what we're exploring is a different kind of joy, actually a higher understanding of joy, a joy that outlasts and outshines the material experiences and circumstances in our lives. We're exploring the joy that still remains when all you really have left is your faith in God and peace and love in your heart. Okay? So reaching this state of mind is the purpose of our spiritual training and spiritual practice. You know, this is what we turn to when some or all of the things in our lives are not what we would like them to be. Okay? But still, even with all our spiritual training and practice, not knowing what is needed to bring harmony to disharmony can challenge all of our spiritual training and practice. Okay? Meaning we can practice, you know, train, and stuff can still happen that will put us in a place where we do not know in this moment, how do I bring harmony to disharmony? Okay? And this is why almost all of the lessons taught here are about doing the work necessary to find our spiritual footing, so that if our material world comes crumbling down, we will not lose our spiritual footing. May not know what to do, but we still stay, you know, spiritually strong. Our foundation is strong, okay? Even though we don't know what to do about something that's occurring in our lives. We want to stay in a strong spiritual foundation. We want to be able to keep our spiritual footing, okay? So the spiritual work for each of us is to be able to contemplate an answer for ourselves, the ending to each one of the following unfinished personal statements, no matter what is happening in your life. And these are the statements I'm talking about. You want to be able to answer, I want what I feel to be. Okay, you want to write that down. You want to, you know, be able to describe and know what is. I want what I feel to be. The next one is I want my body to be. Okay, describe what that is for you. I want the work of my hands to be. I want my environment to be. I want my faith to be. I want my peace to be. I want my love to be. I want my joy to be. How would you answer each one of those questions? Okay. That's the work that we want to do. And the purpose behind finishing each of these statements is to create a vision in your mind, body, and spirit that can endure any changes and challenges to the conditions in your life. And in this process, you must be patient with yourself. We must be patient with ourselves. I must be patient with myself, all right? Because a lot of what I talk about is coming out of my own experience, okay? So we want to be patient with ourselves, knowing that to develop and actually live from your spiritual center is usually not something you can accomplish overnight. That's why we need to be patient with ourselves. Moving from a consciousness, okay, of fear and doubt to a consciousness of faith and peace typically is not accomplished overnight. It is a process that must be cultivated by disciplined, focused, daily practice. And there are many who are willing to hear the truth, but too few who actually have the courage, discipline, and perseverance to really live the truth. I mean really live it, through good times and not so good times. And again, as Pamela could tell you, a lot of this is coming out of my own experience, right? And to really get to a point where you have the spiritual fortitude to keep your feet firmly planted on holy ground requires continuous, daily, focused practice in the trenches of our day-to-day lives. Holy ground being the divine substance you stand in that can be used to create in your life and affairs what you want and be able to weed out what you do not want, okay? So our work is to develop the ability to always remain standing in the glory that God is, okay? Standing in the glory that God is, as it is written in James 1:12. Blessed is the one who perseveres on the trial, because having stood the test, you will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised. So quite often when we're looking for answers as to how to respond to challenging dilemmas in our lives, what most of us are looking for are practical answers, okay? When stuff happens, we want a practical answer, a practical solution. We're typically not looking for a spiritual answer or a spiritual solution. This is understandable because when we are struggling, no matter what the struggle is, we want and need the physical, material resources that will fulfill our needs. So when we're mentally and emotionally caught up in the clutches of fear, that which is spiritual a lot of times does not always seem practical, right? Especially if you haven't done the work to become open to the inner guidance of spirit. And that is the main key to victoriously living the spiritual life. That being to be open to the inner guidance of spirit. And that's what Paul was referring to. You heard me do these scriptures before. Paul was referring to that in 1 Corinthians 2:14. He said, those without an awareness of spirit do not accept the thoughts that come from spirit, for they are foolish to them. You know, in other words, if you're not spiritually grounded and you get this divine inspiration, it just doesn't make sense to you. And it says, and they cannot understand them because the thoughts of spirit must be spiritually discerned. Okay. So to be without the awareness of spirit, the divine aspect of your being, is to be in a precarious relationship with joy. Let me say that again. To be without the awareness of spirit, the divine aspect of your being, is to be in a precarious relationship with joy. And conversely, to be in a precarious relationship with joy is to be without the awareness of spirit, okay? It is to be without the awareness of the indwelling presence of the living Christ that already knows what you need and is willing to guide you to the answers to all your prayers. And all we have to do is touch the hem of the garment of our indwelling Christ to be inspired and comforted by spiritual guidance. So our quest this Advent season is to willingly begin the disciplined process of practicing living from the truth. Now, this is not to say that we all are not already doing the work. But as I know, again, from things that are happening in my life, we need to keep reminding ourselves of the spiritual work and practice we need to keep doing. And yes, I agree that it can be hard and take a lot of courage. But as it is explained in 2 Timothy 1:7, for the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. It is our work to come to know the Spirit within us that gives us power, love, and self-discipline. Okay? And it's in that knowing that we can stand strong, keep our footing. So practice living by truth. If you practice living by truth long enough, eventually truth becomes your first thought when your faith, peace, love, or joy is being threatened. So again, I say practice, because living from truth is an ever-evolving process. And just keep doing the work until you reach the point where when life throws you a curve, you can say with confidence, I've got this. I've got this. So I'm going to end with this scripture from Isaiah 55:12 for us to think about. It says, you shall go out in joy and be led back in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall burst into song, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. And so it is. Amen. And now we're going to have meditation with Pamela.
So let's center ourselves in this moment as we allow ourselves to experience the stillness of God. Today, I will share with you a beautiful poem called Prayer for Joy, and following that, we will go into our meditation. Abba, Father, as long as I am on this earth, I know adversities will come my way, but I ask that you help me to rest in you. I know that you are in control. Help me to have that joy and peace in my life so I will be able to smile through any storm, confident that I will come out stronger for it. Help me to have that joy and peace in my life so I will be able to smile through any storm, confident that I will come out stronger for it. Help me not to look at my adversities, but to look directly to you for a blessed life. So now I ask you to find that comfortable space right where you are. Breathe in deeply and exhale fully. And in this moment, let go. Let go of your to-do list. Let go of the demands of the season. Set them aside and just relax in the peace of this moment. Simply breathe into the stillness. Joy is your natural state of being, yet many of us need to be reminded to stop, celebrate, and feel joy. In this time of meditation, we remember joy. Joy isn't dependent on external circumstances. It is an inner state of being. It arises from a relaxed mind and an open heart. Feel joy enfolding you, surrounding you, encompassing your entire being. If a disturbing thought tries to enter your mind, set it aside and continue to focus on joy. Imagine your life as an eternal celebration of joy. From this place of joy, you bless yourself, you bless others, and you bless the world. Your life is an eternal celebration of joy. Why wouldn't it be? You are a child of God, and only good can come to you. And now, as you contemplate the joy in your life, let us make that journey to the secret place of the Most High. As you reach the door, remember to release all that's not serving you and enter into the room. Take your seat at the feet of the Master and allow all your fears and doubts to be erased. You are now about to be filled to overflowing with the gifts of Spirit. As we bring this time of meditation and reflection to a close, take another easy breath in and release it gently. Return to your day, refreshed and renewed and full of the deep joy of the Holy Spirit. We say thank you in the name and nature of our elder brother and way-shower, Jesus the Christ. And so it is and forever shall be. Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you for the message. Yes.
Yeah,
felt like singing, I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart.
That would have been perfect. So this is the time we open our hearts and minds to think about all of the great gifts that come into our lives, whether it's from your job or the, you know, any source that comes into your life. And so this first prayer, the prosperity prayer, is a prayer we do for ourselves. It's a prayer of thanksgiving for all of the good that comes into our lives. So let's say this prosperity prayer together.
Divine love through me blesses and multiplies all that I am, all that I have, all that I give, and all that I receive. Thank you for all the blessings you provide for me and through me.
Amen. And now what we're going to do is, you know, holding our offerings in our hand, in our mind, in our spirit, we're going to just give thanks as a spiritual community, spiritual family of the donations that we give to our spiritual home so that we can continue doing the work that we do. So holding that offering in your mind, hand, or spirit, let's say our offering blessing together.
We bless and give thanks for these tithes and offerings. As they go forth to continue the healing, loving work being done through the Unity Center of Light.
Amen. And now we have light notes.
Yes.
Okay.
Light notes for today, Sunday, December the 18th. It's time once again to renew our financial and volunteer commitments to our spiritual community for 2023. Please check your e-newsletter to download the fillable form. And if you need a hard copy, please email Patty. The Bowie Food Pantry has updated their processes to keep everyone safe. So for Christmas, families will be given food gift cards and toy gift cards to purchase gifts for their children. If you would like to participate in the program, today is the last day that you may donate. For Christmas Eve, our Christmas candle lighting service on Christmas Day, we're having a virtual service. We're looking for readers. I think we need about 8 more folks to participate, so please contact April at unityeasternregion@gmail.com or put it in the chat if you would like to volunteer. We have a lot of exciting things going on in the new year, beginning with January 1st with our virtual Burning Bowl service at 10:30 a.m. January 8th, we have our White Stone Sunday with Michelle Senegal and musician Richard Hicks. January 15th, Paul Hasselbeck returns with his talk called Intention is Not Enough. He will follow the lesson with his metaphysical romp workshop. A deeper dive discussion group with Reverend Millage from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. will begin January the 18th and go for 5 weeks, and that's Wednesday evening. So 7 to 8, Wednesday beginning on January the 18th. So please mark your calendars for all these exciting events. And that concludes our announcements for today.
So,
what time is it? It's time to bless the path that we each will walk this week. And we're going to say our affirmation with passion, zeal, and gusto together. I go forward in the spirit of the Lord, knowing my way is made easy, joyous, healthy, and prosperous. And I am grateful.
All right. And also we are going to do our prayer for protection together.
The light of God surrounds us. I am light. The love of God enfolds us. I am love. The power of God protects us. I am power. The presence of God watches over us. I am presence. Wherever we are, God is. I am divine. And all is well. And that's the truth.
All right. So it's been our pleasure to bring you this service today. And we look forward to, if you're in the Zoom session, we look forward to seeing you in the Zoom session. Otherwise, have a very wonderful week, and we will see you next week.
Bye-bye. Right. God bless.
Okay.